going to look at Galatia as a new series. And first I would like to give you a little bit of context for the letter. But the letter was written by Paul around 50 AD. And it was written to a number of churches situated in Galatia or Galatia, depending on where you come from. And that's in north central Turkey. That's the little bit in red you see in the map here. And basically was part of the Roman Empire at the time. So Paul is writing the letter to the churches who are there. And you see the gospel had reached many non-Jewish nations at that point. Through, for example, the missionary travel of Paul. But what was happening is there was as well some Jewish believers from Jerusalem who were trying to influence other believers across the nation, and they were trying to infiltrate ideas that were departing from the good news of the gospel by saying you should do it like the old Jewish laws, you know, you should follow this old Jewish law and tradition. So the reason for Paul to write this particular letter is to make sure that the churches in Galatia would not depart from the true gospel of grace. That's why my title is A Gospel is Not Rooted in Grace. It's no gospel at all, it's no good news at all. And that's what the letter is expanding. So today I'm specifically looking at chapter 1 in this, okay? So let me just see if this whole thing works. Yes. So in the first chapter, and I put the verses there, I'm not going to read it all, but after some greetings, Paul had really a stern concern. And you could feel a little bit Paul's frustration there, especially verse 6 to 10 that I'm going to read. It doesn't chew his word, as it says. Verse 6 to 10, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert, that's really big words, right? The gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let them be under God's curse. That's not a light reprimand, isn't it? It's quite strong. Basically, he's saying, if anyone, including angels, so this is to show how you know important it is, if you preach something that is departing from a gospel with rooting in the living the grace of Christ, this is wrong, and he actually perverts the messages. Not only that, it's important to him enough that he gives the warning twice.
Amen.
That if you are doing that, well, let these people be cursed by God, because this is so important. Amen. You've got to really, really look at this very closely. And then, I won't read the rest, but basically he add, as a leader, he has responsibility to serve God and please God only. And he's not looking for the approval of man.
Yes.
Basically, if you don't like it, well, tough, that's basically. He said, but I'm not serving people, or pleasing people. I've got to please God, and I know this is important. And in the last part, he gives his own testimony. And in that sense, his testimony demonstrates that gospel of grace, but as well give him credential to talk to us. Say, look, I've got the authority to speak about that. I know I live the gospel of Christ myself. So he's saying, you know, the message of the gospel is not of human origin. It's sacred. It's from God. Okay. Secondly, I didn't even receive it from man. I was not even taught it. You remember his testimony? He was knock off on the floor and you know, God spoke to him. So it's a revelation from Jesus Christ. And then he says, by grace that God has appointed me from my mother's womb.
Amen.
So you know, this is the gospel of grace. Mm. It's nothing to do with human origin. So the introductory chapter here is setting up the background for the whole letters, I believe.
Amen.
Okay? That a gospel not rooted in grace is no good news at all. Mm. And then the whole letters will unpack what he meant by that. Okay? You see, salvation is a gift of grace we receive through faith only. And that is the work of the Spirit. Mm. So you see, you can hear the message, you can read the message, but at the end, there's a revelation from God that comes. That's a gift. Mm. That revelation from God is a gift from God. That suddenly you think, whoa, what? Mm. You know, that's a gift of grace from God. Mm. Then what happens is you might decide to follow God, but God only can birth in you the new creation. You agree with that?
Yeah,
sure. So again, that's a work of God. Mm. It's a gift of grace. It's him who breathed new life in us. And then comes new life, comes the Holy Spirit in us. We still believe in the gift of grace for transformation. So it's the activity of the Holy Spirit in us that helps us to be transformed and more like beautiful. Jesus as we collaborate with him to be transformed.
Beautiful.
It's all a gift of grace.
Beautiful.
It's all a gift of grace. We are called to live in the grace of Christ. We are called to not strive, but be empowered by the living God. And that's what this letter is about. Okay. So what kind of gospel was preached at the time, and how was it departing from this? There was actually a few main shifts that was departing, and we will look at it more in detail in other preachers. But in particularly, what was happening there is people from Jerusalem, like I said, Jewish people, like originally Jewish people who had converted to Christ, they wanted to return to some of the Old Testament Mosaic law. Okay, so what Moses had been, writing in the Old Testament. Especially, they were asking non-Jewish Christian to become circumcised again in order to be saved. They were asking them to also follow certain dietary requirements, that kind of thing. They were introducing some kind of practices and saying that they needed, from now on, they needed to follow those laws. Okay? So it was creeping in the church, and what we call that really, we call that legalism.
Amen.
That's what was creeping in the church. Mm. That's legalism.
Yeah.
Legalism basically is that faith in Jesus Christ is not enough, but it is our human effort to follow the rules and the law that qualifies us.
Mm.
They were introducing that. They were saying, no, Jesus is not enough. You've got now to be circumcised and do X, Y, Z, otherwise you won't be saved. It's legalism. So now you're not saved by faith alone and by this new birth of Jesus and this gift of grace, but you are saved because you're making an effort to follow these rules. That's legalism. Okay? What legalism is, and is that's the big shift that happened, is suddenly you need to rely on your human achievement.
Mm.
Suddenly you need to rely on your own effort and your capacity, effort and capacity, to follow rituals and laws instead of relying on Holy Spirit for salvation and for changes. Can you see the shift? Suddenly, you've got to believe you need to make an effort, that it won't happen without you making the effort. Okay? But instead of saying, Holy Spirit, you're the one who make it happen, I will collaborate with you. There's a shift, a subtle shift there. And these issues, I think it's really important today, because it's still in the mist. I mean, we might not talk about circumcision, the guys would be very happy, but there's other things that has creeped in the church. or sometimes it's creeping in the church. So it's very important for us to be, to know what kind of gospel have we responded to. What kind of gospel we believe. What qualifies us as being Christian. How can we call ourselves a Christian? Like truly saved, born again followers of Christ. What qualifies us? So I'm asking this rhetorical question now. Does the adoption of good behavior and moral principle qualifies us as Christian?
No.
Okay. Absolutely not. Other question. Sorry, my notes are muddled. Can we guarantee salvation by doing, for example, a course, an alpha course or a thing? Can we guarantee salvation once the person says, yeah, yes, I do believe in Jesus and I want to follow them, follow him? Can we? We can't guarantee. No. The answer is no. Even if those things are really good, by the way. can we be justified by our outward conduct or even a set of belief we proclaim? No, that does not justify us. That does not justify it. The answer is no. Not one set of religious discipline can guarantee our salvation and our transformation. Not one response to an altar call can guarantee your salvation. Not one. Not one moral choice can guarantee your salvation. You can throw your marijuana paraphernalia, you can stop swearing, you can say, I'm trying to not sin very hard, I do believe in Jesus, and I'm really every day trying to not do this, and on the Sunday you can turn up and put your best costume and your tie. None of that is what saves you.
Beautiful.
None of
Amen.
That.
Amen.
None of that. Because the true gospel, it's preached by Paul, is a gospel of grace. It's only the good news that the kingdom of God has come to renew everything. And you can be part of this kingdom by receiving salvation, which is a free gift received by faith alone, based solely on the finished work of Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
That's what saved you.
Amen.
That one day you cried out, you got a revelation that is a gift of grace. You got a revelation and you say, Jesus, come into my life. And he starts to work in you, give you a new life, breathe a new life, give you the Holy Spirit. All of that is a gift of grace. You've done absolutely nothing for that. And you cannot do anything
Amen.
For that.
Amen.
What kind of gospel are you
Amen.
Believing?
Amen.
So the first implication of a true gospel. Okay? The first implication of a true gospel is no one deserves it.
Beautiful.
No one deserves it. No one can earn it. Salvation starts when we realize our need of Jesus.
Beautiful.
Okay? Which itself is a gift of grace. We realize our need of Jesus. We realize that, oh, hold on. I need Jesus. I'm part of this kingdom of darkness. I know I'm not free. And I need to move to the kingdom of light. Only Jesus can do that. And he sacrificed his life for that. So I could have a relationship with God. Okay, and that I will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to change and be more like him. So no one deserves it. No one can earn it. Okay, it's all a gift of grace. And we are called then to go on to the kingdom of life and do the work of the kingdom. That's part of the good news of the gospel. That suddenly we are in his kingdom and we have purpose because we rally under his banner. And we... Our purpose in life is to glorify him. That's the gospel. That's all of that is the gospel.
Hallelujah.
All of this is a revelation
Hallelujah.
That comes from his grace.
Hallelujah.
You see, if you think that being a Christian or the gospel is just about getting into heaven, I would suggest you've been preached the wrong gospel. You've been preached maybe a small aspect of the gospel, but that's not the whole gospel. The gospel is not just about getting into heaven. It because, you see, our need of Jesus is ongoing. Ongoing. We still need this ongoing grace of God. It's ongoing. It's a relationship with God. So we have this ongoing relationship. That's why Paul said, well, you know, you mustn't stop living in the gospel of grace. You're living into the gospel of grace. You've got, it's ongoing. It's ongoing. You know? So, yeah, it's not just about getting into heaven. It's not just about my ticket of salvation. And that is the problem, you see, because my second point here is a lot of Christians, you know, they have realized that they can't earn salvation.
Amen.
But what they do is, once they cry out to God and say, okay, I'm saved, what they do is they go back to work for being transformed and becoming a disciple of Jesus. They forget that it is an ongoing work of grace. So what it is we get saved by grace, and then the next day we're saved, we go back to work. We try to make it happen by ourselves. So, what course can I do? And how long do I need to pray for seeing that sin budge in my life? And, you know, I really want to see miracles, so I'm wondering how much can I fast so X, Y, Z could happen. And I wonder what method could help me to become more holy. And some Christian says, oh, you need to wake up and you need to declare X, Y, Z. And some people say, well, don't you dare doing the day without putting the head vest, the armor of God. Some you know, don't go out without the armor of God, because God won't protect you, you know. And then, you know, you will always be poor if you don't believe X, Y, Z. And think, that's going to work. Yeah. I would suggest that's going to work. It's subtle, because in what I'm saying here right now, there are very good things. Some of those are brilliant things. Some of those are great principles. Some of those are part of good discipleship, that we do discipline, okay? Because it's right, we want to learn, we want to, you know. So hear me that. It's not good when it becomes a set of rules that you are adopting in order to earn God's favor and blessing. That's going back to work. So that means you have not understood the real gospel. You just took the gospel as just salvation. But the gospel of grace, the good news of grace is you're still not alone now. You still need His ongoing grace for transformation in your life. You will not change by adopting, you might marginally change, but you will not change to the core by adopting those things. You need the Holy Spirit to come. So you cannot earn God's favor and blessing by doing X, Y, Z. We just sung it. We just sung it. There's nothing I can do to make you love me less. There's nothing I can do to make me love you more.
You
that's the gospel. That's the gospel. He loves you, and you have His favor now, and you have His blessing now, and you just learn to walk in the goodness of that.
Amen.
You learn to walk in the goodness of that. You believe in the work of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I mean, we could do a study, but I won't do it right now. But Holy Spirit transforms you. He glorifies Jesus. He guides you in all truth. He makes you more holy. He empowers you. He comforts you. I mean, what would you do life without Holy Spirit? Of course, out there, there's a lot of helpful teaching. Of course, there's good discipline. Of course, it's good to declare. Sometimes it's good to fast. Sometimes it's good to, yeah. But nothing will replace that relationship with God and that dependency on Him and the person of Holy Spirit. That means salvation is not enough. It's relying on His grace every day.
Hallelujah.
Okay? So, of course, and he will speak to you. So he will say things like, he will whisper to your ear, say, hey, 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 hey. This in your life doesn't sound too good, right? What about doing things another way? He will whisper tenderly to your ear. He will bring you in all truth. He will say, hey, hey, don't you think it would be a great idea to read some Bible? Because in my Bible, I've got counsel for you. Hey, hey, they will be, but it will be as a walking, ongoing gift of grace. Can you see the difference?
Amen.
We're not going to rely on the discipline to earn God's favor and blessing, because do you know what? No one can deserve what he's giving us. That's why we're thinking, wow, how glorious you are. Your love is, we cannot understand it. We cannot deserve it, because guess what? Down on earth, everything is about earning things. You know, work hard, get what you earn. You know, we are dreamed like that, but we cannot, in our human eyes, understand God's grace. So my third point is really, ultimately, the gospel of grace is the good news that we are receiving a new life, and at the same time, we've received a new heart, and with this collaboration with the Holy Spirit, this new heart will produce new desire for God. So yeah, we have prayers that are like, God, let me walk with you by the Spirit, produce in me a new heart, produce in me new desire, you know? And that's how it works. We just get transformed by him because of his grace, because of this mean of grace. Now, the consequence I would like to briefly mention at the end of this is, you know, this whole thing of grace, it makes you really humble. It makes you humble because there's nothing we deserve. Mm-hmm. We've not done anything to deserve it. Even now, we need him so desperately. It's an ongoing thing that we need his grace. So what we do is, therefore, unto others, as Christian unto others, we preach also a gospel of grace. We remember that God so loved the world that he gave himself. He gave himself through Jesus, his son, that anyone could have a relationship with him, that anyone. He loves the world, that anyone. So for me, I don't know, the application is, sorry, the application is, you love the sinners like Jesus did. And you don't judge the sinners. That doesn't mean you don't love the sin, of course. But you love them. And you don't be too quick to judge people.
Amen.
Don't be too quick to judge their sin. Don't be afraid of their sin. Jesus was not. He was not. He was not. You know, when we were here, long time ago, so I can say the story. There was a guy who started to come in church, and he started smoking at the door of the church. And one of our Christians said, "What are you doing? This is the house of God. You should not be smoking here." And when I heard that, I'm thinking, "What?" It blew my mind, because I'm thinking, the doctor comes for the people who are sick, right?
Amen.
The doctor treats. So Jesus, his love, his sacrifice
on
the cross was for the sinners,
right?
Because he loved them.
That's right.
So how are we going to be able to welcome the sinners if we are judgmental?
Right.
How are we going to be able to? We've got to remember where we come from, guys.
That's right.
We couldn't deserve it. We still don't deserve it. We still need his help.
Amen.
If you have this attitude, you're not going to be afraid of the sin. You ask Holy Spirit to put compassion in your heart.
That's right.
Compassion, and say, you know, we don't want to judge people.
Mm.
We don't want. listen, this is not compromising. Jesus was uncompromising. He was still called the friends of sinners. That's for that reason. It's because he was not judging them. He was uncompromising. He was on his stunt of sin. And he hated the sin so much that he wanted them free. That's
Amen.
Our position. You know,
Amen.
It's very important that we understand
Amen.
That's the gospel.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The gospel. Sometimes we forget.
That's right.
Sometimes I'm on my Facebook and I want to slap people because I'm thinking, but what are you doing judging X, Y, Z? You know, where is the love of God in
That's
everything?
Right.
You might be right, but where is the love of God
right.
in what you say? You know? So you see, what is unbelievable about the gospel is he gave himself for Jesus,
That's
his
right.
son. But what we miss often is that he gives himself still now through Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus went, he said, don't be worried, you're not going to be by yourself, Holy Spirit is here. So God is still continuously
Hallelujah.
Giving himself to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Continuously, he provides everything you need now through Holy Spirit. But we miss it sometimes. Oh, it's not boring. Christianity is not boring. It's not I get saved now, oh, I get to go to church and do X, Y, Z. No, it shouldn't be like that. It should be I've got a relationship with the living God. This is changing me. This is freeing me. This is bringing freedom to me. Not religious glasses. You know, it's bringing freedom to me. You know, guys... If anybody in this room has not heard the gospel like this, wow, you're up for a treat. Let God reveal that to your heart. These issues, you see, for me, they are alive today. It's still valid today.
Amen.
It's so valid. And I can think really about two consequences that I really think it's important. So we know no one can make themselves deserve the gospel by their own effort or by following Satan. No one, okay? Therefore, be aware. No one can self-proclaim to be a Christian. No one. Because it's an issue of the heart. Really, only Jesus knows. Jesus knows, okay? God knows. God knows. So, the only true indicator for us when we call ourselves Christian, you know, the only indicator that we are born of the Spirit is this question. Are we actually growing in manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? That's the only indicator that someone is Christian. Are we actually manifesting in a growing manner the fruit of the Spirit
Amen.
In our lives.
Amen.
Because the fruit of the Spirit is this. Who knows the fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Joy.
Patience.
Peace.
Beautiful.
Kindness.
Beautiful.
Self-control.
Beautiful.
Ooh.
Beautiful.
Goodness.
Beautiful.
Faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Gentleness.
Joy. Beautiful.
So, of course, listen, that's why I say in growing manner. When we baby Christian, we need to grow. We are work in progress. The question is, are we growing? When you look back on your life, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, have you grown into your love for others? Have you grown into your joy? Have you grown into your peace? So when situation come, you are more able to manage
Beautiful.
The storms of life,
Beautiful.
You know. Sin, self-control. So are you able to be more in self-control in certain area of your life? Are you more faithful? Are you showing goodness, gentleness? That's the only question. That's the only question. Because if you are true Christian and you received a new heart with His grace, over time, you should reflect the nature of God.
That's right.
Your DNA has changed.
That's
okay?
Right.
Can you imagine an apple tree who would produce oranges? Can you imagine that?
That's right.
It's not possible.
That's right.
Yeah. maybe at first the apple tree is not very fruitful, and maybe, you know, there's one apple on the tree, it doesn't look impressive. Yeah? But it's still meat, you know, it will eventually, with nice nourishment, cooperation with Holy Spirit, it will produce apples.
Beautiful.
Okay? So if you're a child of God, your DNA eventually will be to produce love. Okay? So if you say, anyone who says, oh, yeah, I'm Christian, but all their fruits are the opposite, like hatred, etc., 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 the only conclusion is, are they really? But again, that's not for me to judge. That's between them and God. But are they? Because they should demonstrate those attributes in time. You know? They can mess up sometime, but in time, they should produce some of the attributes of God. Then the second thing as well, and I think, you see, in Galatians, we will go and we will drill down in that, because we will then look at how we walk by the Spirit. This is what this letter, I recommend you start reading it as we're doing the series, because it's fantastic, full of ways of how we're going to work with the Spirit and not by the law.
Amen.
Now, the another thing that is really important, I think, and again, it will be extended, I think, in the series, at the core of the gospel of grace, and this we see that the culmination of that in chapter 3, is that God does not show any favoritism, none whatsoever, that this gift of grace is beyond gender, class, and race. Okay? Salvation and transformation by the Holy Spirit is open to all. That means all nations. Okay? God does not have a favorite nation or a favorite race, may I say. That's important today to know that. This is totally in the gospel. Okay? We know that in the Old Testament, okay, we follow the story of the Jewish people. And you know, it was called the chosen race, right? That's the story of the Old Testament. We will learn from that how he ended up pointing to Jesus. And we're learning from that. Okay? The Israel had a really important role to point to the Savior. Okay? But the New Testament is really clear that the gospel is a gospel of all nations. There's no favorite nation. It's about everyone, okay? And I add, that the Christian message is not just for white people.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Christian message is not a white people message.
Mm-hmm.
It's all nations. Okay. Everybody's clear on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Preach it.
So, fundamentally, as Christian, we are called to live an ongoing surrendering. That's what we are. That's what walking by the Spirit is. An ongoing surrendering, where we know we're saved by grace, but we still need grace, that we're partnering with grace, that we are receiving the Holy Spirit, and we are partnering with the Holy Spirit for this ongoing thing. Because you see, what happened is, we were from the kingdom of the darkness, and we there are being transported into the kingdom of light. And who is the king in the kingdom of light?
Jesus.
So the banner is King Jesus. So we still need ongoing grace, because we need to make sure that, do we listen to his voice? Is he telling us where to go? We rely on his supply, we rely on his direction. And he gives us the equipment. He equips us. All of that is about partnering with the King of Jesus. Can you imagine? So if you don't believe in this full gospel, and you just believe into the thing of, you know, salvation, my ticket to heaven kind of gospel, it would be the equivalent of Jesus, I'm going to take it as myself, right? Jesus, please save me. Oh, thank you. I've got my ticket to heaven. Now, let's follow Kingdom Rachel, I've got my little banner. Kingdom Rachel. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Can you give me a nicer house? Kingdom Rachel. Hey, Jesus. Oh, today I'm really feeling bad. Could you please give me, XYZ? Hey, Jesus. You. Basically, if you just believe in salvation, you're in that situation. You have created your new little kingdom called Kingdom Rachel, you know, or Kingdom whatever, your name. And basically, you forgot that. Oh, sorry, Jesus. Oh, I'm supposed to let my banner down and follow the banner of King Jesus. He does promise that as you follow Jesus, and he will give you everything you need. That's not, you know, he will prosper you. He will help you. He will give you everything. But the point is, are you still waving your little banner?
Amen.
What kind of gospel is that? If you're waving your little banner, it's very likely then that you've gone back to work, because then you took the salvation by grace. Mm. But then what you're doing is say, oh, hey, Jesus, are you seeing my banner there? Mm. Oh, crumbs, he's not blessing me. That means he doesn't love me. What can I do so he can love me more? I know. I think the pastor said you're meant to read one chapter every morning. That'll do it. And then you do that for a while. Read a chapter every morning. And X, Y, Z in your little life doesn't change. You say, hey, Jesus, I'm so disappointed with you. You don't love me. But in reality, you've not understood that all along, gospel by grace, you have a new life that belongs to him. You're here.
Amen.
Okay? And he will take care of your little banner if you have one, but actually ultimately you don't have one. You know, you in his kingdom of light. You follow his banner. But he will provide everything above what you can even ask or imagine. Okay? But what kind of gospel do you believe? What kind of gospel? As we do in Galatians, my prayer, Jimmy, make that prayer as well, is that the striving seeds that we learn to live in all the benefits of the finished work of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
The finished work of the cross is so much more than salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So much more. It's your own transformation. It's your king. It's your freedom in Christ. It's you to be free for who he created you to be. You know, like throwing everything that entangles you. You know, and it's you full of courage because he's equipping you. It's you full of kingdom solution because you're following his lead. So he prepared good works in advance for you, but he prepares as well all the way to do the good works, and he provides everything you need for the good works, and et cetera, et cetera. And you can start to believe for provision that's much more than you can even imagine, because you're doing his work for his glory. That's the gospel of grace, because we cannot earn it, we cannot deserve it. So even when we're running here and we're getting some success, it's all about him. It's still all about his glory. And his grace, for his fame, for the glory of his fame, for the glory of his name. Okay? Well, how do I finish this?
Amen.
I just want to say, if you realize this morning that you're not quite sure where you stand after what I said, come and talk to me at the end. Or if you need prayer and you're thinking, oh, I thought it was just my salvation, I'm just wondering, or etc. Just come and chat. Okay, just come and chat. I would say, if you're struggling in your life with specific sins and they will not budge, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you up and produce the fruit of the Spirit as you partner. We still have something to do, but we partner by putting good stuff in our lives, and we partner with Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We partner with Holy Spirit, and we count on him to change us. So I don't want you to leave this place thinking, oh, no, I've been believing something wrong. I want to you to leave this place saying, wow, wow.
Amen.
It is so amazing that God loves us so much. It is so amazing that he loves you so much, that he loves me so much. Let's pray. Wow, Jesus, I am so aware that even as I'm standing here, I have so much more to understand about your grace and about your love for us that I just cannot even, we can't even put it in a box. All we have is the reference that we know about love here, but your love is not even human love. So, Father, I just pray, come in our heart. Come in our heart with your Holy Spirit and bring this revelation to us. How good you are. How good you are. How incredible it is that you gave us a new life. How you want us to be free. Free. And running into your purpose, Jesus. How it is not about the rules and the discipline, etc., even though some are really, really good. I pray that you did say you're writing those rules in our hearts.
Yes.
You did say you change our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, and from now in the New Testament we have received this new heart. So I said, Jesus, produce in me all this good stuff.
Amen.
I want to depend on you. I want to obey you. I want to follow your command. And when you highlight something to me that is wrong in my life, I want to repent. Because the ongoing work of the finish, the ongoing finished work of the cross, Lord. Thank you for your grace today. Thank you for your grace for tomorrow. Thank you for your grace as we're living with you, Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, you come. And fill us up right now.
Amen.
Fill us up right now. Make us full of love and joy and peace. Produce fruit of patience and kindness. Let's produce goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and control in our lives, Jesus.
Amen.
People will know that we are Christian because we love.
Amen.
We love
Amen.
Each other. And they will not even believe it. How is it possible that in Plumstead, we've got this church where people love each other so well.
Yes,
people of
Beautiful.
Every race, gender, classes, etc., etc., that love each other. Love each other. And demonstrate this fruit, Jesus. I pray that it would be so, so, so strong among us.
Amen.
So strong among
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
We love you. Whoa. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Father God. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. The presence of God in your heart. Don't rush.
Yeah.
Don't rush out and forget about it. It's too important. Look at the warning. It's too important. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. That could be a simple prayer. Jesus is the one to forget that. Remind me of your gospel of grace. Remind me of your gospel of grace. Yes, Lord. You are so good to us. Right, I know we're going to go for coffee and everything, but I'm going to sit there. If you want to chat or if you want to pray or whatever, just come to the front and we could talk. Thank you, Lord.